So what you just saw was a game called Shock, created by Nicola. Nicola, please introduce yourself real quick.
I'm a software design engineer in test at Microsoft, and I just did this as a hobby project for a few weeks.
So, but it's not just like a basic hobby, right? I mean, that's a pretty involved game that you have going on there.
Yes, it was... It took some time to evolve, and it had actually several versions. Mm-hmm. The first version was pretty simple, and then I decided, okay, let's just do some more and more and more stuff, and mm-hmm. it was really easy to make
okay.
it.
So do you work with Silverlight, or was this kind of one of your first Silverlight projects?
I work with Silverlight okay. daily. I'm testing the Silverlight designer in Visual Studio.
Okay, so yeah, so you have some deep knowledge there, right?
Yes, so I actually had a chance to experiment a lot and stuff like that.
Okay.
I wanted to make something good.
Yeah, something that people would want to use as well, right?
Yes.
Like something fun. So you created a game in Silverlight. And you already knew the platform somewhat, but this was a fun kind of test and experiment. What kind of like challenges did you run into?
I think that my main challenge was communicating with the server.
Okay.
And performance from time to time, although Silverlight was really amazing, like okay. performance-wise. I have all these videos playing, and it's full screen, and a lot of opacity and effects and so on, and it just works great. I can't imagine how would I do it.
So, as an example, the blocks, are those like PNGs or are they vector? Because that's one thing, you know, like when is it the right time to use raster images, or when do you actually use paths?
Yes, for the blocks I just use PNGs.
Okay.
And that was because I want to have more freedom on the image. I want to make
more texture.
I want to have more texture and so on. And for other elements I used XAML.
Okay.
But in general I found images to be better for this particular game.
Okay.
Yes, it depends on how much, what's the complexity of the blocks and so on.
Right.
I have some controls here that just show a video when you hover over.
Uh-huh.
The game has four classes, the Shock Lord, the Villager Druid, and the Moon Goddess.
Awesome.
Yes.
That sounds fun. There you go.
They all have different traits, and then you can buy skills later on in the game.
Uh-huh.
And depending on which class you choose to play with, you have different bonuses, and the game kind of looks different.
Wow.
It's not entirely different, but that's what I want. I wanted it to look different.
Yeah.
And another thing I wanted to show is the top score.
Okay.
Because this really was a great hit for me when I actually, as I improved the top score, I could see more people coming back to play the game.
Right.
And
yeah,
the traffic increasing.
It's kind of like the Xbox Live achievements. Like you see your friend has gotten something, so that it encourages
yes.
you to get there, right?
At the beginning, yes. At the beginning, I had just score,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. And after that, I decided how, I was thinking, how do I make players come back and play, because at one point I had 1,500 people that played the game already, and it was really hard to get to the top of the list.
Sure.
So one thing I made was I made weekly, daily, and monthly high score.
Okay.
Which allows new players to actually get on the list, so they have some motivation to play the game.
Yeah, instead of the all-time. Right.
Yes, and it also allows old-timers to still get on the list.
Okay.
And after a month, they get off the list, so they have to come and play again.
But it seems it's pretty addicting, right? Because it's the breakout, but it seems like you have some different flavors there with the different game modes. So definitely addicting. Those are some pretty high scores. Does that mean they've... how long does it take to get a score that high?
Yes, for the 0.8 million score right uh-huh. here, it probably takes about 3 hours straight.
3 hours? Okay.
Yes, and...
playing like Breakout for 3 hours.
Yes, for the 3 million score, it's probably like 8 hours straight.
Wow.
Gameplay, yes.
And that's one game?
Yes, that's one game.
Wow. Okay. 8 hours.
When I actually added the daily, weekly, and monthly high score,
mm-hmm.
my traffic to this page doubled.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just by changing the score. And another thing that increased the time people spend playing the game,
mm-hmm.
probably three times, they spend three times or even four times more playing the game now than they did before, was the reflexes rating.
Okay.
The reflexes rating is a second measure It's parallel to the score, and it measures the speed. It measures your reflexes.
Okay.
So how fast do you move the mouse, and how many balls do you lose, and so on.
Oh, wow.
And I spent 2 weeks with friends tweaking this to make it really hard to achieve very high reflexes rating and also make it kind of accurate.
Okay.
And the great thing was that I could see some of the regular players progressing over time, like over the course of a month or 2 months.
As they go from cat to snake to god.
Yes, the lowest is turtle. We don't see it here.
Okay. I'll have to watch out for that one when I try. Okay.
Yes, usually people start at turtle, but they get to snake and so on. And the great thing about the reflexes was that you can actually have high score and have low reflexes.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that's really another dimension to compete on.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made people come back. Because I got some feedback from friends that the game was, after we played for 3 weeks or so, it became very easy to play.
Oh, okay.
So they say, why should I play it? It's the same.
Right.
So I said, let's make something that's really hard to achieve so that they have... so that they want to come back and play.
Right. Yeah, give them more achievements, more accomplishments to get.
Yes.
So how do you know, how do you know that they're not cheating to get a score that high? That seems...
Yeah,
I guess they could spend 8 hours, or are they... Is there some way to... not that you want to say, yes, you can cheat this way, but do you have anything, like, to stop that?
Yes, actually, the very interesting thing was that when the first version came out, I didn't think anyone would cheat because I was thinking, okay... Five people will play it, who will cheat. But on the second day, I got some people with super high score and actually said hacker in the lane.
Yes. so they let you know. They're very explicit about it.
Yes.
I'm going to hack your game now.
And then I was thinking, how should I actually architect my game so they don't cheat? And I was thinking, if I do something in code, they'll just keep cheating and cheating and so on, and they'll get better, and I'll probably get better. So I decided, instead of spending all this time on
like a code arms race or something.
I decided just to name my functions the functions that communicate with the server.
Yeah.
Instead of at high score entry, for example, I named them at high score entry cheating is lame. Or simple cheating is lame.
Okay.
Because it's really simple to cheat this game. You just start Visual Studio and you connect to the server and you get all the API for the WCF service. So, but the API that you get will tell you it's simple and it's lame, and that was what I did, and it actually worked pretty well.
Okay, great.
Yes.
All right. So now, so you've spent obviously a fair amount of time working on this because it's pretty advanced, all this functionality, and the best part is that you want to share that knowledge, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's how we first started talking. You have a white paper.
Yes. I made a document that shows how to create Silverlight games yourself, and it summarizes all my knowledge and through the time I spent developing this game.
So all the lessons learned.
Yes, and it just starts with what are the components of an online game. Then it shows how do you lay out your controls in page.xaml.
Okay.
To make it easier to maintain and also to make it performant. So,
okay.
For example, when you go full screen, you want to turn off some components that were running when you weren't full screen in order to increase performance, and how do you do this effectively and so on. Then the document talks a little bit about game internals. What's the game loop? What are some classes that you are likely to use? And it's focused on Silverlight.
Yeah.
The source code of the game is available, and the document references the source code. So
that's awesome.
As you browse through it, you'll see screenshots, and you'll see links to the source code and so on.
Okay.
Show you. So.
They had like a line number, right? Yeah.
Yes,
the class file.
The file and the functions that are interesting. So you can pretty much download the source. I intentionally removed a lot of the functionality to make it simpler to understand.
That's cool.
You can get the document and just go ahead and create your game. And I also talk a little bit about keyboard and mouse, what were the challenges supporting full screen, because, for example, different monitors, they have different aspect ratios so on. And
right. How so to like make smart your scaling? Or,
yes.
Yeah, you have that. Okay.
You need some smart scaling. Then I talk a little bit about transitions. Those are the small animations that play when the level ends or when mm-hmm. the ship or whatever thing dies. Or,
yeah. Yes. Exactly. When yes. something explodes.
Yes. Then I talk a little bit about sound and music. How to make it with Silverlight, and it's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
I talk a little bit about networking and how I made my scoring system and how to communicate with the server correctly.
Very cool.
Yes, and then thank you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just the full gamut of, you know, here's how you do it, and then even up to the top score, the scoreboard, right? Yeah.
Yes, I wanted to make this document in such a way that a beginner Silverlight developer
mm-hmm.
Can take it and can create a game that's compelling.
Awesome.
I didn't want to make it just from the development perspective.
Right.
There are also tips and tricks here and there on how to increase traffic or how to make this better, the certain
cool.
types of things better. So yes, I also talk a little bit about host integration and cheat protection, and there are some tips and tricks.
Well, it is neat because I mean, there's a lot of interest in creating games for Silverlight, like. We just recently did this 10K contest for Mix.
Yes.
And I think a third of the entries were all games. So everybody was like, oh, I can make a game in 10K in Silverlight. So
I actually wanted to participate. Unfortunately, I'm a Microsoft employee.
You could have participated, but you just couldn't win. But anyways,
yes. Okay.
This is good participation. I'm sure that the people that were in the 10K contest will love to see you.
I actually have something that's 10K. Do you want to see it?
Yeah. Let me see your 10K entry.
That didn't
wasn't actually submitted. Wasn't. One of the hidden 10K entries.
So the hidden 10K entry is a ray tracing sample in Silverlight. And it's pretty simple.
Uh-huh.
You just click start ray tracing and it just ray traces a single scene.
Oh, okay.
And I picked up the ray tracer from a coworker.
Uh-huh.
It's not mine. So
okay.
Only the Silverlight front end
implementation.
Yes.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah, so that was my hidden 10K entry.
Yes. Very good. So this is if people want to see this, they go to nokola.com.
Yes, nokola.com.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, thanks for your contributions to the gaming community.
Thank you. And
something else. Go ahead.
Yes, I would appreciate if you play my game, please put your feedback in the forum. I'd like to hear your opinion.
Okay, great. So, nokola.com. Feedback, please.